Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks and Nihei Debiru.
I partied too hard too late last night. Didn't wake up to the morning light. Passed out on the couch, didn't milk the cow. Daddy came in the living room yelling out loud, get off your ass and on your feet. Out of the shade into the heat. Are you done laid around too long? You better rattle them lazy bones. Get off your ass and on your feet.
Hey everybody, welcome to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to check out the show's page on Facebook. The show will also be available on Google Play within the next week or so. And this week, we'll be launching a channel on YouTube, where you can see some of the videos related to each episode. This week, Kosho School of Karate instructor Evan Jones and I make our first stop in our multi-state, multi-country karate road trip. This week, we're in Nashville, Tennessee, to work out at James McLean's Kosho School of Karate with head instructor Ezra Scott. In today's episode, we catch up with Ezra's recent training regimen. We also talk about another instructor at the school, Nick Riggins. Mr. Riggins is quite the Southern Renaissance man. In addition to being a great martial artist, he is also the star of CMT's Tobacco Wars. And a few episodes are available online, and I'll share a link on the Chop Talk Facebook page so you can check it out. And he's also one hell of a musician. The bumper music to this week's show came from his latest album, Farmed and Dangerous, which I'm told was, at the time of this recording, one of the top 10 country albums in Europe. We'll play the title track to the album later in the show. And if you like good old-fashioned country music, you're definitely going to like what you hear. And you can buy Nick Riggins' latest album, Farmed and Dangerous, on Amazon. You can see the video for Farmed and Dangerous on YouTube and find out more about the other projects that he's working on at www.nickriggins.com. That's www.nickriggins.com. And we'll be looking to have Mr. Riggins on as a guest in a future episode. For those of you interested in learning more about Ezra Scott and McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, you can visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. And now our on-the-road conversation with Ezra Scott.
All right, well, we're on the Nashville leg of our journey.
Oh, man.
We just got done working out at James McLean's Kosho School of Karate.
Chop Talk is back in Tennessee.
Oh, that's right. Chop Talk is in Tennessee quite a bit.
And Chop Talk's had a lot of good episodes in Tennessee.
And even when Chop Talk's not in Tennessee, Tennessee sometimes comes to Chop Talk.
Oh, man, that happens too.
Yeah. Oh, man, we had a good workout.
We did. We had a real good workout. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good. It was good seeing Sensei McLean again. He's doing good. His health is good.
Yep.
Had a real good workout. Let's see, what did we work on tonight? We did
some... So we stretched out real good.
Oh, yeah. You had some great stretches on the bar, like... I guess how do you describe it? Like a ballet bar? Yeah. Like from a dance studio.
Mr. McLean just calls it bar work.
Bar work.
Bar work. You gotta do your bar work.
Well, he had a student who was literally in the ballet years ago, right?
Yeah, and I don't know whether or not that... I'm suspicious that perhaps that's where he got the idea, but I don't know that for a fact. Like, right. I don't know whether they did that with Master Keppel or not.
Okay.
But it is definitely, like, a central part of Mr. McLean's training. It's like, the bar work is like Makuhara or something. It's like a big Hojo Undo at our dojo.
You know, I really like, there were, you know, and it wasn't just the stretches. So getting your leg up, you're stretching, your foot's in a different position. Okay, that's... sort of, I guess, a common... Anyone can put their leg up on a chair. But there are some other drills where you're holding the leg out for the side kick, making sure that the hip is pushed forward, the foot's at the right angle, and then, you know, doing a circle. So one of the things that I really found challenging is holding that leg out there and then drawing a circle with it and then circling the other way. And then you had some where you would try to hit that leg with a pad and you're trying to hold it there.
Yep.
Similar to, I guess, a lot of people would have done that with San Chin. Like you're running San Chin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You do those double low blocks and then someone comes up and smacks your arms and tries to move them and you try to hold it. Well, you're doing that with the leg.
It's like Kote Aide for your leg or something.
Yeah, for your leg. That was really nice. I'm gonna steal all those. I'm gonna
use them. Hey, help yourself. Yeah, I think the way I've heard Bill Wallace describe it, that until you have developed the strength in all those, because it's the strength that you need to do the kind of kicks that you use a lot in like tournament karate or in any kind of competition fighting, you're using a lot of little tiny muscles, and it's difficult to strengthen those just doing the kicks. A lot of times what ends up happening is you just end up doing the kick wrong or you know, not doing it as well as it could be done.
Yeah.
And so if you use the bar to kind of like as a crutch for your balance, then you can develop the strength and then work the balance and get everything, go with the kick after that.
You know, I can see how that could be really, really useful. You know, I've got a couple of pretty major hip injuries. You know, I had one before I was in the martial arts. I had a real bad infection, and that affects the range of motion.
Yep.
And then I had another one when I was in the martial arts doing that sidekick, and my hamstring ripped out of my pelvis. And
pretty rough.
Yeah. You don't, you're saying that from hearing about it. Wait till you feel it, man. That was nasty.
Oof.
So, you know, a lot of the kicks I do have been to sort of work around those things.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's I'm not gonna tell anybody which ones in case someone, you know, like challenges me to a death match.
That's right. Yeah. No, you don't want them to know about that. We're like roundhouse kick to the head.
Yeah. Someone doesn't like.
Pop. I mean.
No.
Or like hook or kick. Which kick.
Right. But one of the results of that is there's certain kicks that I favor over others. Mm-hmm. And they're different for both legs because my hips are fucked up but in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I really felt with those exercises that sort of isolated some of the muscles. And if I worked those, I could improve all the problems wherever they are.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the idea with it because it's like when I started, Mr. McClain, I always used to say, work both sides. Mm-hmm. And for the first however long, I really did it. I really worked both sides very crappily, I'm sure.
Right.
But I would work them both sides. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, when you get to sparring a lot, then you develop techniques that you favor for whatever reason, because of a physical issue or just because you're freaked out and you spar better one side than the other.
Right.
And so you just end up doing this, you know, like for me, I kind of developed this sort of crappy but somewhat functional sidekick early on when I was probably like a green belt or something. I always did it with my left leg.
I've been hit by that sidekick. I don't want to say it's that crappy.
And as a result, you know, it got to where I developed a muscular imbalance because I always did that. And I think it's inevitable for everybody who spars. If you didn't ever spar, you could just do, you know, 10 kicks on one side, 10 kicks on the other side. Right. But realistically, you get to spar people, and you get to spar people who are better than you, you will favor whatever technique and side it is that works the best because you don't want to get beat up. Because, you know, realistically, that's what happens. You start doing the crappy one, and you get blown up.
Right.
And so doing a lot of that kind of the bar work and stuff like that, it really helps with that because you can kind of break out of some of the muscular imbalances and stuff like that that you develop for whatever, you know, it's different reasons for everybody, I think.
Well, I really like those. I'm gonna steal them and use them myself. And, you know, your workouts changed a little bit over the last couple of years. You know, you've been on Chop Talk, but it's the last few times has been a phone interview.
Mm-hmm.
But so since the last time I saw you, you were always in good shape, but you dropped weight. All of a sudden, your flexibility is just gone through the roof, literally, because you had your foot on the ceiling at that point tonight.
Thanks.
What have you been doing different in your training? Because I mean, there's a noticeable difference from where you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely got in better shape. I lost a bunch of weight. I just kind of quit eating sugar very much.
Okay.
just cut back on calories. I mean, I still eat pretty normal diet. I'm not gluten-free or anything like that. Still drink beer and eat sandwiches and all that kind of stuff. But just less calories, and a lot of time I try to do no processed food for at least a couple meals out of the day. You know, like not eat bread and stuff a few meals out of the day.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always worked out a lot, so it didn't take much to lose weight. I just ate like crap all the time and would like drink milkshakes every day. And so that's not, you're not going to be fit that way.
Right.
And then, you know, the other thing is that I added a whole other dimension because I was training karate, you know, pretty much every day, not hard every day, but I would do at least some karate every day. And stretch every day. And then when I started adding the jiu-jitsu in, where I was like on the mat actively, you know, wrestling people, you know, I do that 3-4 days a week.
Right.
So you start adding things like that. And that it really does, you know, working on the mat a lot helps a lot with, you know, your metabolism and everything because you're just constant resistance. It's like a whole nother dimension. That's kind of the thing that I've found is that it's all those different sort of ranges of fighting, striking where you're outside of the person's range is one type of cardio. And say if a guy is pretty much just a wrestler, if you start boxing with him or doing karate with him, he'll just suck air so fast because he's used to this one sort of dimension of cardio. And then you get this other dimension, and it's not, like, it's whoa, I'm not ready for that. Right. And then it's the same thing with, like, you know, if you get that same wrestler, maybe you get him on the ground and keep him on the ground for an extended period of time.
He can relax.
He'll suck air there, too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, because the kind of quote-unquote jiu-jitsu part or mat part or whatever you want to call it is kind of another dimension of cardio. You've got, like, the clinch, like standing grappling, striking, being on the ground.
This is Mike Tarvin of Tarvin Plumbing Company. You may have heard me answering questions as a plumbing expert on the Gary Sullivan Show over the years. I'm here today to make you aware of our company. We perform plumbing repairs of all types. We've been in business since 1907 through 5 generations of family members. That's 109 years of providing top quality workmanship and outstanding service. If you're having issues with leaks, stoppages, water heaters, fixtures, or piping, we're here to help. Spring rains may be taking a toll on your sump pump. To help out, ask us about our summer sump pump special. We can inspect the existing pump and replace it if necessary for a special summer price. We can also inspect or add a battery backup and other devices for extra security to keep you high and dry. We offer you peace of mind for your plumbing system with reliable, trustworthy service backed by years of experience. Tarvin Plumbing is a Cincinnati company with an appreciation of the wide range of plumbing challenges this city offers. So if you or someone you know has a need for plumbing repairs of any type, please think of us at Tarvin Plumbing. You can reach us at tarvinplumbing.com. That's tarvinplumbing.com. Thank you.
You're doing a lot of working out. So what's your typical, because my workouts the last year have changed quite a bit also. So I'm kind of interested in what's the breakdown. You're doing all this stuff every day, but you're not doing it, or maybe you are, going from, you know, you're doing 2 hours of karate, you're going to 2 hours of jiu-jitsu, you're doing a half hour of stretching, or are you doing one thing every day?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, I guess like my average day, like I wake up in the morning, I do like the foam roller and stuff like that, and the stick massager on my legs to kind of get the blood pumping, and then I'll stretch, because you don't want to stretch when you're just totally cold.
Right.
So I'll stretch, and then I do some karate after that. A lot of times it's like the bar kind of stuff, like some kicking stuff. Maybe a little bit of kata, do tencho, or just a little bit of kata in the mirror in my house. Then I go to work. I'm also a landscaper, so work outside.
In the morning, that stretching and kicking and karate workouts, a half hour, an hour?
Yeah, half hour, hour.
Okay.
Yeah, just kind of depends on the day. What do I have time for, you know? And then, like on Mondays, I teach a karate class in the evening at like 5. And then usually I get done with that about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I go to jiu-jitsu. So Monday's big marathon day.
Yeah.
I don't get home till about 10 o'clock. So that's kind of a long day. And frankly, it's a little excessive. I think that probably it's good for my spirit and it's good for my getting better as a martial artist.
Okay.
It may be a little excessive for my body. I don't, maybe not recovering quite as well. Like Tuesday, I feel pretty rough.
Yeah.
A lot of times on Tuesday, then, you know, same thing in the morning. I do the stretching, karate stuff in the morning. And that kind of depends. Sometimes I'll go to jiu-jitsu that day. Sometimes I'll just go home or go to the dojo and do bag work. I've got my house set up where I can train at my house. So that's probably nice. A thing that I do that's a little different than some people.
In my house, I started training in my apartment, and the people below called the landlord.
Oh, they didn't like it.
Yeah, they didn't like when I was doing my 360 jumps in for the
Fifty
Show.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate
and
that.
And landing in the full Kibidachi. I also added a ki on the shuteo. I landed, I'd stomp, and I'd all at the same time. They called it. It took them almost a day and a half to call the landlord after I started doing that. So
A whole day and a half.
Yeah. So I got the one good work.
Yeah, you're gonna have to buy a house.
Right. Yeah.
But I've got a bag. I've got a back door. I've got a bag. I've got an area, pretty decent area to run kata. And I have mats. I don't really roll with anybody at my house other than my kid. My daughter's 8, and we do jiu-jitsu together. But, she's 8, so.
Well, yeah, but she's got last time I was over at your house, she put me in a choke.
She can do the collar choke good enough to make you pass out if you.
She's no joke. I wouldn't want to be the bully that decided to put on her school.
Yeah, against another little kid. She could choke him. Yeah. Yeah, she likes a lot, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I could go on throughout the whole week, but it kind of varies.
It
varies based on the day, but and then on Saturday is the big open mat day at that jiu-jitsu school, where we just roll. So Saturday is kind of a blowout day. At the end of the day on Saturday, I can't move.
Yeah.
That's the hard day. And then Sunday, nothing. I really try to. I used to really work out every day, and I've noticed that if I take a whole day on Sunday, just really try to just chill super hard, not even yoga or anything, just super hard chill. That's a good idea, I think. I think you gotta rest. Yeah.
That's good. That's good, man. Well, what you're doing is obviously working, so I can keep going in that direction.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I gotta pick up my game now. You're gonna be. You're already ahead of me. Now you're gonna lap me. Oh man.
Yeah.
It was a good workout. And the dojo's doing great. You've got a group of newer students, some white belts. Some of the older black belts are back in action now. They're teaching the newer guys. One of the newer guys jumped in and did some sparring with
us. Yeah, we had a good time with Chris. Chris is good. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's strong, and he goes in there and trains on his own. So that's a big...
That's
if
good.
You go... Really, at Mr. McLean's school, that really is kind of a requirement. And I think that's... I always took that for granted. But that's something that... I mean, he just used to always say that when I started. You 90% of this is what you're doing on your own. I can tell you all day long what to do. I cannot make you good at karate. You will either do it 5,000 times or you will not. And that's just up to you. And in the beginning, it was kind of if you don't want to do that, then this might not be a very good place for you to train.
Right.
After a while, that kind of slacked off a little, where he kind of was trying to have a little bit more student retention. he didn't ever pull any punches about that. You're not going to come in here and go to class 3 days a week and be really good at this at all, by my estimation, meaning Mr. McLean's estimation.
Which is pretty high estimation.
Yeah, that's just not... He was not going to consider anybody that just went to class really very good at karate. You've got to train by yourself,
And you just come to class for sort of the tweaks until you get...
You should come to class and learn. Yeah, you come to class and learn. You come to class and get corrected. But you got to, if you want to be good at a reverse punch, you're going to have to do a reverse punch over and over and over again until you can do it right. Once you can do it right, then you got to do it 10,000 times. Really, up until you're doing it right.
It's not even doing it 10,000 times. It's doing it until you can do it right, which may be 30,000 times.
That's right.
And then once you do it, then additional 10,000 times, then you might be okay.
Which is kind of a never-ending emphasis on basic techniques because... Right. Of course, after 5 years of doing it, you're going to feel like you could get a little better at it. And you're like, oh, man, I still hadn't really, And then you end up with a pretty smoking reverse punch at the end of the day. You can burn people up with it if you really do it. But that's the only way to do it,
Yeah. Well, the dojo's changed. Every time I come down here, the dojo changed. We were driving in. I couldn't find the place because the neighborhood is now unrecognizable. The last time I was down here, now the dojo literally has apartment buildings on top of it. It's like the dojo is preserved, and there's 7-story apartment buildings on all sides. It's like it's like a state.
It's pretty upsetting.
But it's like a state historical monument. It's like one of those things that can't be touched or moved or destroyed. But around it,
apparently, we have some sort of status like that. That the woman that owned the property put something in her will that said that they couldn't kick Sensei and the other guy that rents over there out, Rocky. Until they had passed away. So maybe that's true. Because otherwise, it really doesn't make sense that the dojo would still be there. Because clearly that property is worth an extremely large amount of money.
Yeah.
You know? And so why? I mean, we're kind of like... I've actually seen a photograph before of a little crappy shack next to a skyscraper in New York City. This was in like the 20s, like during the Depression. Mm-hmm. It's like this little crappy shack. And it's next to like... the Empire State Building or something like that. And that's what I always think about the dojo. You know, we got this little tiny old building that's probably, I mean, that when you look at the beams in that garage, I think that garage was built somewhere probably around the turn of the century.
Yeah.
And there it still is. And we got all this, you know, Kid Rock's apartment building right next door and all this crap, you know. Yeah, it's definitely making parking a challenge. It's more like big city parks. It's more like parking in Boston or something like that. You kind of like cruise around and find a spot and then get in there, you know.
Right, but I mean, it's just really kind of neat to see the changes every time. But it's harder and harder to find.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cool old place, man. Honored to get to train there. Grateful to get to train there.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you guys open the doors every time I swing by.
And, oh, always. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and this is your first. You've worked out with Sensei McLean and Ezra every time they've come up to Cincinnati, but it's your first time down
here in Nashville. Yes, it is. Yeah. Very nice.
You're very welcome. We really enjoyed having you. You're a good karate man. Always proud to have any Mr. Awad's black belts down here, you know. He's always so very generous to us.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier. It's quite an honor.
Yeah. You had a pretty good setup there for a while. You come into town, you got a place to stay.
Mr. Awad, for those that remember Mr. Awad's karate hotel.
Right.
Man, it was cool. The black belt bungalow.
Right.
It was really cool.
I guess the only problem was you were also on your own for breakfast.
Yeah, you're on your own for breakfast. He'd feed you all the other meals. He'd feed you lunch and dinner, but you're on your own for breakfast.
Maybe a couple in between, but breakfast, that's on
you. You're on your own for breakfast. There's beer in the refrigerator, but you're on your own for breakfast. He wasn't going to get up.
Good.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
All right, man. Well, what else has been going on down here? Are we missing anything? No.
I think so.
All right.
This
is the part I edit out because I've killed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, we had a good. We sparred. We ran some kata. We ran Gary Waz. Oh, the other thing was
Gary Waz was nice.
Gary Waz is a great kicking drill. In fact, I will. I'll repost the video. I got the video of Neil.
Oh, okay, good.
Running it, so I'll repost that. We also went through some self defense drills, which I really liked because we were talking about this earlier. One of the things is, you know, you've got all the hillbillies now that are watching. They're no longer watching, you know, Hulk Hogan do a leg drop on somebody.
Yeah, they're now watching UFC.
Yep. And
Bellator
so
and all that stuff.
You get people that almost kind of know what they're doing or think they know what they're doing.
Yep.
And so the sort of attacks you would see from one of these guys, and if you're at a bar or out drinking or just whatever, is not necessarily along the, you know, the John Wayne hillbilly wild swing punch. It's
It's changed significantly. People are a little more sophisticated about some of those. People know about a guillotine choke and a rear naked choke and stuff like that.
And they might not necessarily win the UFC championship with it, but they might try to put you in.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're not, you know, you're not paying attention and you're fighting their buddy and they come up and grab you, you need to know, you know, a little more technical defense to get out of it than you would have had to know 20 years ago.
Right.
Just because guys just didn't know how to do that stuff back then. And there are people, you know, they try it. They'll try it. You know?
Yeah, they might. And you did two really nice escapes. One was one that Sensei McClain done from years ago, from a guy just from a headlock, front headlock, which people have been doing.
Very popular. Forever. Yeah, well, I mean, that's a popular wrestling technique.
Right. Where you reached up and had the thumb in the throat. And then the other one was if a guy really tries to put you in this choke, which could kill you.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to get out of that, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Which, so kind of hooking on, getting the guy and knocking him down to the ground. And we've got a video of that.
Yep.
Too.
So
you know what? Since we talked about this a while ago, so I'm going to put that video up.
Sure. Yeah. That would be a good time to.
Yeah. Also, since
my wife liked it a lot.
Yeah.
My mom liked it.
Okay.
Well, let you in it.
We'll let the Chop Talk viewers look at it too. So I'll find a way to.
I don't know what you thought about it, but my mom was very complimentary.
Yeah. My grandma is my. My grandma is the biggest Chop Talk fan.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had good feedback on that. I had two of my buddies that don't train, and they both were like, "Wow, that was really good, man! Like, I felt like I could do that." I was like, "All right, that's good.
All right, I'll put it." Okay.
It's my first martial arts video. Okay. I have been very hesitant to put up videos of me doing martial arts on the internet because I personally hold that there are way too many people just putting up videos of themselves doing martial arts on the internet very crappily.
That's true.
And I don't feel like I need to add anything to that. You know what I mean? It's like I'd like it to really be pretty good if I was going to do it that way. But that one was okay. I felt like okay about it. You know,
we'll put it up. We'll
see. Wasn't embarrassed. I didn't feel like I embarrassed myself.
No, it's good, and it was one I didn't have a good defense against that. So those are two good ones that I had. All right.
Yep.
Good. All right, man. Well, thanks again for letting us stop by.
Hey, thank you, man. It's an honor with you. Honor to have you guys come and train. It's really fun.
Glad our first stop on the our multi-country
season. Hey, well, I mean, this being Chop Talk, don't forget to tell everybody about your new Joe.
Oh, that's right. Joe. I got a new Joe today.
Yep, from Mr. Riggins.
Mr. Riggins gave it to me, and you know he's a country music star.
Well, yeah, kind of. He'd like to be. Yeah. You know, he's been at it for quite a while.
He's pretty good. He's in Europe now.
Yeah.
Right? He's got the CD. So,
we should say for Chop Talk purposes, Mr. Riggins, Nick Riggins, he's the founding original member of the dojo. So basically, in the, I guess in his early 90s, he had, you know, was friends with Mr. McClain and knew who Mr. McClain was, like had like a poster with Mr. McClain on it in his room when he was a kid, because Mr. Riggins was in Taekwondo in the early 70s in Kentucky, and he competed all over the Southeast and was quite good, apparently, Taekwondo guy. But that was, at that point, it was more like everything was USKA style point sparring. It's all stop action point sparring. It was like Olympic Taekwondo. It was like more like what you call Korean karate. He's a Mudokwon guy.
Okay.
So it's more like, more similar to karate.
Yeah.
And he knew all about Mr. McClain. And then he met him here in Nashville, probably at the Springwater or something like that.
Right.
And Mr. McClain, at that point, was kind of not really too interested in having a school, I don't think. Mm-hmm. You know, he was still going to the Nationals and going up to see Mr. Awad and stuff like that. But he was kind of burned out, I think. But Mr. Riggins said, no, you got to have a school. And he got him to do it, got him to have a school. And, you know, Nick was kind of the founding member and instructed a lot of the basic classes and stuff like that. And he's also a farmer, country music singer.
Right.
An excellent horseman.
Okay.
Television star of the CMT show Tobacco Wars. If anybody's seen that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had a reality TV show. I don't know whether it's going back for a second season, but it was a reality TV show about these different old tobacco farming families in the Red River region up there. And so that leads into the Joe that he gave Mr. England.
So basically he is, if anybody's out there and you think of a stereotypical person from Nashville, you're thinking of Mr. Riggins.
He's totally Upper South Renaissance
there
man.
There we go. That's it.
Upper South Renaissance man. He can do it all. But he gave Mr. England a tobacco Joe. So when you black fire tobacco, what you're doing is you take up the tobacco plants. I don't know whether you leave their roots on them or not, but you take the tobacco plant up, and then they use these sticks, and they run through the bottom of the plant to where the leaves are hanging down. They take them up in the tobacco barn and lay them across the rafters, and then the tobacco dries. They set a fire in the bottom of the barn, and it smokes the tobacco. So those sticks generally are kind of thin, sort of Joe-length sticks, but this one that he gave Mr. England, which he has competed with in Kobudo and tournaments.
And won.
Is like a kind of a special one of those right. that somebody made for him, handmade. I can't remember the term he was using. It sounded like laved, but it was like it's like a Kentucky colloquial
right.
interpretation
I guess
of that.
Hand tapered. So when you see a typical... So if you go to the Century catalog and you buy a bow, a staff, it's tapered. It's about an inch thick in the
it's
in the middle,
perfectly round,
and then towards the ends it tapers down to 3/4 of an inch. Okay, but this thing,
it looks like it was done more like with a draw knife.
Yeah, but it was done that. But also because the guys were using it with their hands, because their hand had slid over that over so much time that it had naturally sort of narrowed down.
So you got a pretty good. Tennessee martial arts souvenir.
I do.
On the trip there.
Definitely. Pretty nice. Well, I'll get some good use out of that. Put that in the dojo back in Cincinnati.
That's right.
And he gave us a CD. I got to check the rice and make sure he's okay with it. But if he's okay with it, we'll get some music.
I bet he is.
On the episode. And I'm sure he's probably got some way to get his CD or his music. He's top 10 in Europe. You got to be able to buy it somewhere.
He's on Facebook. I'm sure he's on iTunes.
We'll get that. I'll put that in the intro to the show and get a link so everybody can go and try to find Mr. Riggins out and see him on Tobacco Wars.
All right.
I'm just a good old boy who ain't afraid to work. I got a PhD in muscle and dirt. I keep a little mud on my pickup truck from driving through the fields where I grew up. 'Cause I'm doing what I love, kicking up dust. My work is never done, but I'll make a little money when my crops come up. I'm a long tall fix-it-all tractor driving daddy, corn growing, seed throwing, learned it from my pappy. I might not be rich, but I'm lucky enough, 'cause I'm farm-armed and I'm dangerous. Got a Daisy Duke, honey, and she loves her man. All of our kids got a farm in tan. We're stubborn as a mule, we're twice as tough. There's a lot of people eating 'cause of folks like us. 'Cause I'm doing what I love, I'm kicking up dust. My work is never done, but I'll make a little money when my crops come up. 'Cause I'm a long, tall, fix-it-all, a tractor-driving daddy, a corn-sowing seed, though I learned it from my pappy. I might not be rich, but I'm lucky enough, 'cause I'm farm-armed and I'm dangerous. Fish
fishing pole swimming. Oh, my baby skinny dipping. Moonshine turned green's my kind of living. I might not be rich, but I'm lucky enough. Cause I'm farmed and I'm dangerous. I'm farmed and I'm dangerous. I'm farmed and I'm dangerous.
I imagine Tobacco Wars is on Netflix or something by now.
Yeah, but yeah, that's it.
Probably is.
Man, I should have had him autograph my joke.
That's right.
I know he's a movie star, too.
Yeah, I didn't realize it.
Well, all right, guys.
Okay. Well, Ezra, thank you very much. Thanks for letting us stop by. Thanks for guiding us to our beautiful Airbnb.
Oh, man.
Abode.
Probably do it.
I wouldn't have been able to find it without you.
Right here in East Nashville.
Yeah.
The coolest place in the world, according to a whole lot of people, it seems like.
According to the
judging from how much rent people are paying.
According to the property values, apparently. Yeah. All right, man. All right. Well, thanks, and we're off to our we're off to bed, and then off to our next step in our karate road trip.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
The first stop on our road trip is in the bag. Thanks to Ezra Scott. Also, thanks to Mr. Riggins for the cool new Tobacco Joe and providing the bumper music to this week's episode. If you like the music you heard in today's episode, you can find Mr. Riggins' latest album, Farmed and Dangerous, on Amazon. You can see the video on YouTube, or you can find out more about his recent projects at www.nickriggins.com. That's www.nickriggins.com. For those of you interested in learning more about Ezra Scott and McLean's Kosho School of Karate in Nashville, Tennessee, visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. Next week, Evan Jones and I move on to Dalton, Georgia, where we join the Classical Fighting Arts Seminar and talk to one of the top Goju-Ryu instructors in the world, Yoshio Kuba, along with his student and my good friend, Miwa Kanazawa. Thanks for listening. Nihei Dibiru and Mataya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.